Palm City, the good news station.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. The White House is under fire for a bombshell report claiming that the NSA listened in on communications between members of Congress and Israeli leaders. On Fox and Friends, Republican presidential candidate Rand Paul says he wants to look at how leaders utilize surveillance powers.
The debate in Washington right now has unfortunately been going the other way. Since the San Bernardino shooting, everybody's saying, oh, we need more surveillance of Americans. In reality, what we need is more targeted surveillance.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the eavesdropping took place after the Obama administration promised world leaders that the spy agency would stop the surveillance of U.S. allies that came to light in the documents leaked by Edward Snowden. Donald Trump is taking more jabs at Hillary Clinton as he campaigns in South Carolina. Trump said Clinton is regretting her comment in an interview that Trump has displayed a penchant for sexism. Trump insisted that no one has more respect for women than he does, while plenty of women have a problem with the former Secretary of State. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Attacks by Islamic terrorists. Supreme Court allows homosexual marriages. Planned Parenthood videos released, yet very little is done. It was all part of the history of what happened to our nation in 2015. People like Ann Graham Lotz of the Raleigh-based Angel Ministries and the daughter of Dr. Billy Graham calls this time in America a crisis point.
God promises in his word again and again that he will hear the cry when we cry out with sincerity and humility and in repentance of sin. He will hear our prayer and he will heal our land and he'll forgive our sin. This is a time, I believe, we're at a crisis point in our country, and it's a time to really pray and to know how to pray and get answers.
Ann Graham Lotz is calling on every Christian to spend at least 1 hour in prayer on New Year's Day, seeking the blessings of God for our nation in 2016. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
2015, so it worked in 2015. So I'm going to lose 20 more in 2016.
Study shows some 45% of Americans make resolutions each January. 50% are able to successfully follow through with them. Losing weight and quitting smoking are among the commonly broken resolutions. Now, GoBankingRates.com says living life to the fullest is among the top 2016 New Year's resolutions on their website. Living a healthier lifestyle came in at a close second. Donald Trump's daughter won't rule out running for office someday. Ivanka Trump told Town & Country magazine she's never been inclined to run for office, but said she's 34, so who knows? The eldest of the Republican presidential candidate's 5 children said she would never contemplate entering politics right now, but she said that doesn't mean she wouldn't have a change of heart when she's 50. And movies are making more money than ever before. Ticket sales in North America passed a record-breaking $11 billion yesterday. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
It's my grandson got to drive my Mustang convertible for Christmas.
Well, he must have been thrilled.
Let me just tell you something. He's got his permit. He's 15. He's not 16. Now, you remember back when we were kids driving?
I couldn't get it till 16.
Well,
up in New York.
Different states, different rules. Anyway, so my grandson, he was just, to put it mildly, happy, happy, happy. And my daughter says, Dad, Ryan's got his permit. And I said, so? Well, can he drive your car? He wouldn't even ask me. He's such a sweet kid. And I said, you really have your permit? He goes, yeah. And I said, okay, let's go, but you got to bring it with you. And I said, you can drive. So we drove about, 5 miles.
All right, nice.
And you know what? I don't remember this, but he was so tentative driving, like he's scared to death. Now, you know, when we were kids, I'd been driving since I was 12 years old because you could do that up in the country, you drive country roads, you know, mom would let you drive and stuff her dad. So, he says, boy, Grandpa, I love that car. He said, I'd love to have that car. And I said, well, you get it when I die. And he goes, how long's that going to take?
Nice kid. How long is it going to take?
Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. All right, class, this is Education Hour. We're going to teach today, but we're going to talk about business and taxes and insurance, and we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, investments and 401ks and IRAs and rollovers and all kinds of good stuff. And Pastor Tom Ernst, and we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, investments and 401ks and IRAs. That's hard to do, but you write down that number, 1-888-221-8990. Now write that down, even if you're not going to call us today, in case I forget to tell you what the number is, you will have it handy. Keep it by the phone, and that way if you have a question on any of the subjects that I'm going to start bringing up, which are, Joe Martech's a financial advisor, I'm also called a stockbroker, a securities principal, so anything to do with money, investments, 401ks, rollovers, IRAs, Roth IRAs, SEP IRAs, 457 plans. I mean, what was there, like 10 or 15 different plans?
Oh, yeah, there's the multiple initials.
I mean, it goes forever and ever.
And letters and numbers.
403Bs. I mean, they go on and on. Then
you keep this up, Joe, you become a tax maven.
You know, yeah. You know what it is? Unfortunately, when you wear my hat, you wear more than one hat.
You get into taxes.
I have to.
You do.
Because if I'm going to help a client, they're going to ask me questions, and I can't be calling you every 5 minutes because
I probably don't know the answer anyway. No, yes. Only teasing.
We have Vince Rosino, CPA, forensic CPA. Forensic means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And Vince is an old guy, so he's been around the pike a long time.
Not as old as you, Joe.
And he used to teach.
This is the pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly.
Right?
That's true. And he used to teach college level.
But not at Columbia.
It was some junior college or something.
No, it wasn't. It was SUNY Old Westbury.
I know.
Thank you.
I got a pick on him. But the whole question is this. This we're now almost into where all of the aggravation hits everybody, which is tax season.
Right.
So you're inches away from all stuff. So we're going to talk a bit about that.
Oh, I'm glad because I brought a whole list of things to talk about.
I'm not ready because I got to talk about the other members of the team
absolutely.
First.
Absolutely, do that first.
So we're going to talk about Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. Now write that one down, folks, because what happens if you're a captive insurance agent, which I was many, many years ago, I worked for a company called Farmers, and it was a fine company, nothing wrong with them. But when a person walked in the door, if Farmers didn't do it or wasn't competitive,
you couldn't sell
I couldn't help.
It couldn't help.
But if you're an independent, you don't work for one company. You work for the client. And Now, an independent can have one company, but most independents have more. And the longer you're in business, if you have a good reputation, and if you've been in business a long time, these companies come after you. And Dan's only been 37 years. And in my humble opinion, he is the premier independent 37 in the Treasure Coast. He's got over 80 companies. The man got the best staff, and with the power of computers today, there's not much he cannot do to make sure. The only things he doesn't do are airplanes
and boats
and mega yachts.
Mega yachts, right.
Anything over 40 feet is not his strength. Under that, he's fine. So point is, it's basically homeowners insurance, car insurance, business insurance, life insurance, health insurance, all that kind of stuff, even Obamacare, which I guess you're stuck with no matter what.
Joe, I've used them several times. I've referred them to many people. Nothing but good things. Of course, it sounds self-serving because he's part of our team, but this is honest, folks. The guy knows his business.
Hey, we had the only testimonial I think we've had call in on this show was a lady that you know, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it when Dan was sitting here. She called in and she said, you know, it was kind of an unusual thing. I'm out at my horse ranch. She's got a horse ranch out here someplace in Palm mm-hmm. City, I'm assuming. And she said, I see this old guy with gray hair.
That's old guy stuff.
Roaming around with a camera. So I went up to him and I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Dan Warren. What are you doing? I'm taking pictures because your office or you called to try to get an insurance quote. And I'm trying to make sure that when I give it to the underwriters, that they've got all the information. So she spent a good hour with Dan, taking him through the whole property and showing him, and he's taking pictures. And what people don't understand, in the insurance industry, the first underwriter is the agent.
Hmm.
Because they submit this then to the company, and if they don't submit enough information, the underwriters at the home office will price it, turn it down, do whatever. But if you submit a good package, you basically can do and when you have a good risk, as with this particular customer client was, her place was pristine. She took care of it. Dan made the underwriters understand that it was pristine. So she called in to say, in spite of the fact he was old and had gray hair, he got her better coverage and saved her $2,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, in that case, Joe, what you're saying is that he becomes a salesman to his own company, because he's got to sell that in that
he's got to sell it to
he's
the insurance
to the insurance company. Yeah. Like, you're a great risk and here's why.
And then he has to pick a company out of his ballywick of companies that can handle that type of risk, because it's an unusual risk. You know, horse ranches, mm-hmm. now it wasn't like 7,000 horses or anything. I mean, it was a small ranch type thing, but still in all, it's an unusual type of risk. So that was important to me when we started doing these shows, that I had people that were extremely credible, experienced, not new in business, that had weathered the storm of the first 10 or 15 years in business, because anybody that's lived in Florida for any period of time watches people come and go.
Yep.
And we've got to be very cautious, or you should be very cautious, about what was the joke, you know, if it's on the internet, you can trust it, right?
Yeah.
And so this was this couple, they're standing on the doorstep and outside, and she's talking to this guy and says, yeah, I met the guy online. I'm having a date with him tonight. He goes, yeah, what is it? He goes, well, he's a French model.
Yeah, French model.
And the guy walks up and he's ugly as sin. And he goes, bonjour.
Bonjour. That commercial's classic.
I know.
It's a classic.
I think
now.
It was Geico, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the point is, I'm trying to say is, you got to be very cautious, and you should do your homework. And it's not easy to check things out, but the more you can check out, the better off it is. So when putting this group together, which we've been doing this for 10 or 12 years, we don't know exactly how long, but we know it's before 04, the members of the team, I wanted to make sure that none would come back to haunt me. So if I recommend Vince Rosino, CPA, or Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, or Greg Fasula, attorney, who happens to be the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's just a flat, good guy. He's patient, understanding, good listener. All the things you don't learn in law school. And he doesn't gouge people. He's fair. Greg's just a flat, good guy. even if he is a liberal, you know, we forgive him, Vince, once in a while for that, you know, but he hates it when I say, I'm a moderate, Joe. I said, yeah, right.
Well, it really doesn't matter in the end, right?
No.
He's doing the right job for people.
And then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Miss Bubbles. This girl, I've known her since 1980. Nobody works harder than her. And I'm serious. I mean, I don't know of any person alive, any business that works harder. She's only got two speeds. She's either working or sleeping. And she's just a powerhouse. But she knows her stuff. And you couldn't make her lie if you tried. So if it comes to real estate, she knows her stuff. And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Mike has taught us more about the mortgage business in the last couple of years because the changes have been dramatic. Yeah. In the mortgage business because of the changes in real estate since the recession. But bottom line is we're here to answer questions to help people save money or make money, and that's what we do. So you write this number down, 1-888-221-8990, and if you don't want to call us on the radio, which we understand, you can call that number anytime during the week, and Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number and have us call you back. 1-888-221-8990. Now, CPA extraordinaire.
Ooh, you must have had a very good Christmas.
Forensic
CPA. You're still giving out presents.
And he's got three or four pages of stuff here with highlights on it. So yeah, I'm assuming actually, you've got some subjects.
Well, yes, you know that last December 18th, the Congress passed tax extender
legislation. Are you assuming that I know that?
You don't know a darn thing about this.
Thank you so much.
I know.
Tom knew this because he's very bright.
Huh? He's bright. Huh? He's so bright, he's glowing.
He's glowing, right. Oh,
you say something?
I forgot it. It was because he has a suntan. You know, I understand. Never mind. Sunburn.
Well, just to give you a history on tax extenders, what does that mean? The Congress, you know, always used these provisions of the tax code as sort of a political
leverage
every year.
I mean, are you telling me politicians are political?
Yes, sometimes.
Yes.
And so most of the times they're just idiots. No, I didn't say that. So anyway, so every year they would extend these things, and they'd be certain provisions of the code. The biggest one that I can think of off the top of my head is the depreciation rules on what businesses can deduct immediately.
Right.
And so they used to wait, and this year, this was no different than past years. They waited to the very end of the year to make permanent, although in prior years it wasn't permanent, it was always just a one-year deal. They would tell you what you could deduct that year, and they'd wait to the end of the year to tell you.
Right.
So companies would be in the dark all year as to how much they could invest in CapEx things.
Now, see, this is a big problem if you're a business. I mean, if I buy it this year, can I write it off 100% of it, or 10% of it, or
5%? Or whatever.
Whatever it is. But if I know on the last day of the year is too late, I can't run out and buy everything the last day of the week. So the Congress is not there really to help. They haven't been historically.
Historically, no. The biggest example this year, in which they finally clarified it for two more years, was the discharge of indebtedness on your principal residence when you had a case where it was a foreclosure or whatever have you, where you had income. On the forgiveness of indebtedness. In the past, they allowed you to exclude it. But that provision expired in 2014.
Now explain it. I don't understand that.
Well, what happens is if let's say you settled, you either went through a foreclosure, you had a short sale, whatever case may be, and you had a gain on the sale of your principal.
Now what happens is this. Let's use an example. So I owe $300,000 on my house. That's my mortgage. But the bank accepts $200,000. It's called a short sale.
Short sale.
And they forgive me.
$100,000.
$100,000. However.
In the past, well, at least in the year 2015 up to this point, everybody was at risk that was not going to be excluded.
So that $100,000 could have been taxable income.
Could have been, depending on your circumstances.
Yeah, okay.
It could have been. But they waited to the end of the year, and they've done this for three times over the last 5 years. They extended it.
Well, so they're going to forgive.
This time, they've now extended it for two more years. So 2015 and 2016.
In case you do a short sale
or forgiveness of indebtedness, and it results in gain or indebtedness income to you, you'll be able to exclude it permanently for 2 years.
Don't the bank sometimes give you a statement that says it was income?
1099.
But the point is,
so if you get a 1099, you can still exclude it.
Yes.
Because the government says, okay, we'll let you off.
But only 2 years. That's one of those deals they only did
this year
years.
And next year.
This year and next year. And I suppose that they'll probably not do it beyond that.
Well, here comes the question. ALCA is political. Mm-hmm. It is political. And the new administration, whatever it might be, might change the rules again. But bottom line, for 15 and 16, you're okay. Okay.
Yeah, look, you see what they've done, Joe? They've now kicked the ball over to the next administration, say, okay, we'll let it go until I'm out of office, and then the next administration will have to deal with it again.
Well, you know what? 99.9% of the people will never be affected by this and won't know about it, but the 0.1% that is affected by it, this is a big deal.
Yep, exactly. So that was one of the bigger things, that and the depreciation. So they now made them permanent, Joe.
Right.
Those for 2 years, though. Other things are made,
now, talk
permanent.
About depreciation can be a big thing too.
Yes, they for years they had played with the amount that you could deduct fully without having to depreciate. And what I mean by that is normally if you buy a piece of equipment without these provisions, you would have to depreciate. It means you take into as a deduction the pro rata amount depending on the life of the equipment. So if you had a piece of equipment that was expected to last 5 years, then you could take 20% a year, theoretically.
So if you paid $50,000 for this, rather than counting it all off as an expense this year, the government says, no, you can only take off a five-year life 20% a year.
So you could take $10,000, theoretically, $10,000 this year, $10,000 next year, until you fully consume the total cost.
Now, this could be an automobile, a piece of machinery, a truck, whatever.
A typewriter, listen to me. A computer,
a typewriter.
A typewriter is a long gone. It shows you how old I am.
You could depreciate that quickly.
Yeah, you've got computers, all kinds of equipment, you name it, any kind of office equipment. So instead of doing this pro rata 10, 10, 10,
right,
over 5 years, the IRS said, you know, we're going to put a provision in there that's going to allow you to deduct the whole $50,000 the year that you acquire the equipment, as long as it's qualified equipment. So you don't have to wait.
So qualified, equipment, it's got to be business equipment.
It's business equipment.
So you're a business with business equipment.
So if a fellow's in business goes by as a new truck, he can write off the whole
truck as an expense rather than depreciation.
For his construction business.
That's a big difference because some of the old depreciation schedules were 20 years, 30 years. I mean, not quite
20, 30. Depends.
Depends on the type.
Most of it was 15-year, 10-year, 7-year.
I'm just going way back because I'm old.
Yeah, you're old. you're probably thinking about the homes, you know, rental properties and that.
Yeah.
They had long,
rental properties, yeah.
Long,
well, that's a business.
Depreciation.
Yeah. They long depreciations. Now, what about rental properties?
Well, rental properties, they still fall under these guidelines in terms of
you can't expense the whole thing in one
year. No, not the house itself. No, the equipment.
The equipment.
The house itself, now, the rules haven't changed. It's 27 and a half years for residential homes and 39 years for commercial property.
But what happens is if I go and spend $10,000 renovating or something, I might be able to write all that off in 1 year.
Yes. Yeah, so if you buy a piece of equipment or even now on certain types of businesses, like retail establishments, there's special provisions now to let you write off all your leasehold improvements over 15 years as opposed to the 39.
See, what I'm saying, folks, is this is complicated to put it mildly. If you're not paying attention, you're falling asleep on us because Tom's already nodding off. This is not what you call exciting stuff. But if you own rental properties, if you own a business of any kind, a garage, mechanics, I mean, these are rules that it's important that you understand.
Well, let's get to some things that affect individuals,
Jim, okay?
Because this is also very important. They made permanent the child tax credit. Now, what is a child tax credit? Well, depending on your income, and depending on the number of children you had, you're eligible to get a $1,000 per child tax credit.
So, if my 14 kids,
no.
I could get $14,000.
Well, it really depends on your income because it does get phased out, and you have to have a minimum of $3,000 of earned income, Joe. What do I mean by earned income? It's usually wage income. Or
so I've got to have a job
income.
Paying me money or self-employment income, but I've got to show earned income.
Yeah, so at least $3,000 in order to be eligible.
Per year.
Is that in addition to the regular deduction you get for a dependent?
Yes. The credit is a credit. It's nothing to do with the dependency exemption. But there are phase outs. For example, if you earn more than $110,000 a year as a married couple filing a joint return, then they start to take away that credit.
A portion of it,
as you exceed those thresholds.
And I'm sure if you earn over 250, you can forget it.
Well, you're done. It's $50 credit for every 1,000, Joe, over the thresholds.
Yeah, because under Obama, it seems to me that 250 became a guideline to just eliminate a whole bunch of stuff.
Is there an age limit on that? Because, you know, now, you know, children are considered, what, children until they're 26 or something?
For health insurance.
Well, for health insurance only. No, it's usually it's up to 19 or 24 if you're in school.
So if you got a permanent student living at home, you are not a happy camper to start with. But the government gives you something.
But the difference here, Joe, on this one, this is not what's called a refundable credit. What does that mean by that? As opposed to an earned income credit, which we'll get to in a minute. This credit only applies against your tax liability.
So if
you owe money for taxes, you can offset it against it credit.
Gotcha.
But if there's anything left over, you lose it.
So I better hurry up and have some more kids. Saying, yeah.
Now the other question that a lot of people are going to be wondering about, you know, people that are getting Obamacare. You mentioned Obamacare a moment ago. People that receive a credit toward their insurance.
Yes.
Are they going to be paying taxes on that?
It depends on the income that you declared up front. Because what they do is when you tell them, when you apply, you tell them approximately
what your income is. You've got to tell them how much you're going to make.
They then will estimate the credit based on that income level and give it to you immediately as a reduction of premium. So now you go all year long and you pay that reduced amount, and then you file your taxes, and guess what? You made more money than you told them.
They want it back.
The whole thing.
No, not necessarily. Whatever you're eligible for based on your income level,
okay,
they'll take the difference.
But you don't. But let's say a person making $50,000 a year of actual income, and they qualified for a credit of $500 a month or whatever it was.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Does that $500 a month credit that they get toward their insurance count as taxable income?
No.
No. What happens is you got to physically get taxed for the differential. So they gave you a credit of $500 a month. Let's say at the end of that's $6,000 for the year. Let's say that you're only eligible for three because your income was higher.
Because you made more than the 50.
Well, then they paid you an excess of $3,000.
But if you're still within the limits that you said,
right,
you're good. You're only going to pay the tax on your actual income.
Yes,
you don't have to pay additional tax.
That's correct.
On the credit.
So, Tom, you're semi-safe.
And last year when I was doing
I'd heard that, you know, people, they were concerned that, you know, they said, well, I told them I was going to make X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
I made X amount of dollars, but I'm also going to have to pay tax on the credit that they paid toward my insurance.
As long as you stayed within that limit.
But that's not so.
However, do they not send you a 1099 anyway for that money, but it might be an R or something or other?
Right now, they're still so screwed up with these 1099s, Joe, that the Congress just allowed the insurance companies an extension of time to issue these 1099s is going as far as May of 2016 give you some 1099.
Basically, you're supposed to file by April, so they give them till May. Yeah, this is perfect. It makes perfect sense.
It's perfect.
Point is that as long as you stay within that guideline, even if that 1099, quote, usually the R means that it's not a taxable event. It's an informational event.
1099-R.
Yeah, right. Am I right, Vince?
Yeah, 1099-R is... No, the 1099-R.
Maybe I'm wrong on the letter, but
it's a 1099-C. It's an informational return.
Got a call?
I don't know yet, but I'm turning the volume up because it was turned off.
Okay, I saw something blinking over there.
Okay, it's not blinking on the green.
No. Go ahead and push the button.
Do I have to use this one?
No, push the regular button.
The green one.
Yeah.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, this is Patty, and I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Patty.
You might have answered it, but my Bluetooth, I cut off the radio. Anyway, so say I took my full tax credit, like, last year.
What tax credit did you take?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What kind of tax credit?
I mean for the Obamacare.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So I took the full credit towards my premium throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, I found out that I had more money, so I say I had to pay back $3,000 of that. Do I get to write that $3,000 off as a medical expense?
Poor Vince is shaking his head. No,
sorry, Patty. No, you don't.
Come on, Vince. Now work with me here.
Work with me. Hey, you know, here's the problem is, you're talking to the wrong CPA. He won't lie to you.
That's true. Seriously. I won't lie to you, Patty. You know that already. You've been in to see me.
I got to find a shyster.
I guess I'm going to lose some of these clients.
Patty, you know, it's time to fire Vince because he won't lie for you. So, yeah, isn't that a shame, though? The bottom line is...
Well, why is that? Because, I mean, if I pay that much money towards a premium, then don't you normally get to write that part of...
Here's the thing with the premium. You're absolutely right that the premium would get... if you itemize your deductions... Yes, the premium would get put into that bucket of medical expenses. However, Patty, the threshold is so high on that, you need to have it exceed 10% of your income in order to get $1 of deduction. So let's say, for example, you earn $50,000 and you can otherwise itemize your deduction. The first $5,000 of premium and other medical expenses that you pay is not deductible at all, because you didn't meet the threshold.
On the other hand, if you had a business, Patty, and you had the business pay it, and it was a benefit, that could be an expense to the business, right?
Right. Vince? If she's self-employed, then it becomes a business deductible expense. Yes.
It's kind of late to go into business for yourself, Patty.
Yeah, I have to juggle some books. I have to find me a
Okay. Vince has a relative. He might be able to help you. Anyway.
Can I speak to Connie back again?
Okay, sure, can you hang on a second?
Absolutely. No, she'll have to call back.
Now, guess what? You got to call back, and Connie will talk to you, okay? Can you call back?
Okay.
We have a sophisticated system here that doesn't work.
That's all right. Even if I probably wouldn't be able to figure it out anyway. So
thank you. Call back. Thanks, Patty.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
And a delayed Merry Christmas too.
Bye.
Oh, that too. Bye. All right, bye.
1-888-221-8990 That was an interesting question, and she tried. You got to give her credit.
Yeah, she did try it, and she does get a deduction, but the chances of her actually realizing anything from it.
Yeah,
because it nets against your premium. So whatever that premium is, it goes into the pot.
Okay, let's continue on with this.
All right, I got a couple more things. Earned income credit. Now, this is a little different. This is for people who have up to three or more, I should say, for families with three or more kids.
Okay, three or more kids.
Three or more kids. And you have certain, and you fall within the income qualifying level. There's different levels of income depending on the number of kids, which if you exceed it, then you don't get anything.
Right.
But the credit is pretty significant. I mean, for example, a married couple filing jointly and they have three or more kids, they can earn up to $53,000.
And
they can get up to $6,200, not per child, just $6,200.
Credit total?
Total. For three or more
up
kids.
Up to. Now, if you have seven kids, it's still $6,200 max. So three or more.
Three or more.
But now, do they have to have income? I don't think they even have to have income.
Not the kids.
No, they don't. But saying that there's a cap on the upper end. You don't have to have income, but if you have too much income, they'll take it away.
If you had no income, you can still file for the earned income credit.
And you can get money back.
And get a refund.
It's refundable. Now, that's what I was going to explain about the refundable. The refundable, unlike the other credit with the child credit, which means you lose it if you don't need it.
Right.
This, they'll actually pay you.
They'll send you a check.
This is
America, folks. You know, you think you're in England, but you're not. This is America, and what we do is they will give you money for not working.
All right,
as long as you have babies.
I knew a farmer that got.
So remember this: if you have a quit, you have 1 day to go have triplets.
Right. And it'll be a medical miracle.
I knew a farmer one time; he got paid for not growing corn.
Of course,
yes.
They've been doing government subsidies forever. You know, there's all kind. Let me tell you what you talk about.
So he said what he was going to do next year was he's going to not grow twice as much corn.
Exactly. But they had an acreage thing, and the farmers had subsidies. If you didn't grow, we would pay you X number of dollars, just like you grew it and you made a profit, but you didn't have to. And no, there was people out buying property like crazy, going into business as farms just to get these subsidies.
Just to get the subsidies, yeah.
Some of them have been outlawed. First of all, there's like a loophole for every hole. I mean, okay, we have a rule, and the rule says this is what you have to do. Well, guess what? People come up and say, you mean if I own 1,000 acres and I don't plant it, they're going to give me $50,000? I'm going to quick go buy 1,000 acres, and I'll get back the $50,000. And this is a pathetic thing. But in Florida, you know, we have sugar. You ever hear that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
This has been a battle going on forever and ever because sugar is subsidized.
Oh.
You know that?
Well, yeah, I figured that.
What happens is this.
A lot of sweet teeth out there.
Well, in order to keep the cost down at the retail, the sugar growers are given money by the government so that they don't charge too much for sugar in the grocery store. On the other hand, if they didn't do that, then the South Americans and all the rest of the people would be selling sugar for the same basic price.
Right.
But in order to keep the FanJul family in business down in the Glades.
It's not just the sugar. It's every product with sugar. All of those things would go.
It goes on and on and on. Now, just as a pure aside, are you done yet with all this stuff?
I know. I got a couple more things, Joe, I want to point out. If you're a teacher, Congress made that $250 above the line deduction permanent. And they indexed
it. I don't understand that one.
Well, you know, teachers sometimes reach into their pockets to provide supplies
for their kids.
For their kids. And the IRS had allowed, or Congress had allowed them to deduct $250,
right.
But that expired at the end of 14. So they now made this permanent so that all the teachers out there for the foreseeable future,
they spend $1,000?
They still only get $250.
Isn't this
but
sick?
There is a way to capture it someplace else. But again, it's like the problem Patty had.
Yeah.
It goes into a bucket.
Double-edged sword.
And by the time you figure it out, you got nothing.
I feel sorry for these teachers.
But they get a standard $250.
$250 comes above the line, comes right off the top.
Okay.
That's one. The other thing is, for here in Florida, we're going to love this one because they made permanent the sales tax deduction in lieu of income taxes.
Now, explain that one. That's complicated.
Well, there was a battle going on between the high income tax states and the taxes states that don't have income taxes.
Like if you lived in New York,
you're paying 6-9% tax
state
on your money,
tax.
State income tax. Well, the federal government allows you to deduct what you pay to the state for income taxes.
Right, but because we live in Florida,
we don't have any income tax. We say, whoa, wait a minute, we're not getting any benefit here. You're subsidizing the ones up north, but you're not giving us anything.
Right.
So in their infinite wisdom, and it was right, they said, well, okay, guys, you guys who live in Nevada and Texas and Florida, we'll let you deduct an equivalent sales tax.
Equivalent.
And so they figure based on your income how much sales tax you've spent paid for during a year, and you let you deduct it on a Schedule A.
So they have a formula also.
Yeah, it's based on income. Based on income and locality.
Is that what you would call an above-the-line?
No, actually, that's not. That becomes an itemized deduction. It gets lumped in with your other taxes, like real estate taxes and personal property
taxes. So you may qualify for it, but it may not do you any good.
It may not do you any good because it goes into that pot. And if your whole list of itemized deductions doesn't equal the standard,
take the standard,
so all the rest of it doesn't mean anything.
So what Vince is trying to tell you is if you have a good CPA or good accountant, he's going to run it both ways.
Yep.
He'll do the standard and see if that's no good. He'll say, if he does the itemized and that is not higher than the standard, you just take the standard. And a good CPA accountant is going to explain to you exactly what I just said. Is that fair?
That's fair to say. I got a couple more quick things for you, Joe.
And we got to give him a phone number.
1-888-221-8990. Now, you remember this class? You're supposed to write that down. This is important,
Tom. Test them on it.
There's a test on this going on. We have this
test on the phone number?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The test is you got to call up.
You got
to
call
up. If you reach us and you get through to us, you pass.
It worked.
That's right.
1-888. You know what I'm trying to say, folks? We're on every week, every 4 o'clock.
You only gave part of the phone number.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
We're on every week at 4 o'clock on Wednesday.
I'm paying attention. I want to pass the test.
You know what happens is Tom was asleep a minute ago.
He was. Now, you woke him up and you realize you only gave up half a number.
He's paying attention. So you write this number down and you keep it near your phone and just keep it there.
So you dial it.
You can call anytime you want during the week and Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number and have us call you back. Or you can call in and talk to us live. And that number is, Tom, I forgot it already.
888-221-8990.
You know, if I were you,
did I pass?
You passed.
I'd write
but
that.
You have to dial it and get through to us.
Now,
I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go call.
Tom, if I were you, I'd write it down and put it up on a wall where I could see it.
I got a couple more real quick for you.
Go ahead.
If you're 70
how much time do we have left?
You got plenty
got
of time.
20
we got
minutes.
20 minutes.
Oh, man.
Go all right.
Vince,
don't be
in a hurry.
No, I'm not in a hurry. 70 and a half, if you're 70 and a half years old.
Right.
They made this permanent, too. You can now donate to charity and not pick up the money that you take out of your retirement plans that you normally be taxable.
I don't have to take it.
No, you can actually take it. You won't have to include an income because you're donating it to
a
charity.
But I can give it.
You can give it up to $100,000.
Is that not rule been enforced all?
It's been around a while, but it expired, if you will.
So they made it permanent.
They made it permanent now, which is a good thing for people who are retired who want to start giving their money to charity. They don't have to pick up that income, so it's dollar for dollar off.
Well, let's just explain this. The way it works with an IRA or any retirement plan that has not been taxed, that has never been taxed, the money goes in, and the government says when you turn 59 and one half, you can now start taking that money out with no penalty. It will be subject to tax, but there's no penalty.
Well, typically over 59 and a half, it comes out with no penalty. But at 70 and a half, you're required to take it. An RMD. It's called an RMD, which is a required minimum distribution. This would apply towards that minimum.
So what they're saying, let's say you had $100,000 in an IRA or retirement account, and you now turn 70 and one half, government says you got to take out roughly 4%. Now, I'm saying roughly because it's not exact. So that's $4,000. Now, you have to add that to your income. But Vince is saying now you can give that money to the church or a charity. Pastor Tom, WCNO, would gladly take it.
Yeah.
Into your deductions. They don't have much time.
They've got today and tomorrow to do that.
What you do is you call the station and say, hey, I'm making out the check today and I'll deliver it tomorrow.
Right.
And that'll work.
So if it comes out of your qualified plan,
right,
so you don't have to pick it up as income because you're donating it. So think about what that does for you. You don't pay the tax. Now, normally that distribution, that contribution
would add it to your
income. Would go into your other itemized deductions.
Yeah.
Now, I guess if it's $100,000, you'll still get some benefit, but you won't get dollar for dollar benefit.
Now, just so you know, folks, this is trivia. It's useless information because the odds are good you won't live this long. But what the government says is when you turn 70 and a half, you got to take out roughly 4% of whatever's in the account. And they calculate it based on December 31st of this year for next year's distribution. When you turn 90, it's roughly 10% of whatever's in the account. When you turn 115, they want you to take your last dollar.
I mean, and whatever's left, the government keeps.
I mean, it is so goofy.
What about the woman in that commercial that lives to be 200 and something years old, you know?
Well, then she's going to run out of money and she'll be a ward of the state. Well,
She will. Her required minimum distribution is gone because all the money's gone.
So now it's a minimum contribution. She expects that from the government.
Well, she's taking it all out and hid it under the mattress.
Now, there is a way to beat that, though. If they want you to take out 100% of whatever's in the account on December 31st, but you got all of the next 12 months to take it out, if you can earn 100% on that money in the next 12 months,
100%,
you get to
you
keep.
You got those investments?
No,
I want to invest.
There's no
in those.
Such thing.
That's the rule.
If you could, you now keep your money, but you took out 100%. Now, if you live to be older than that, I think the rule, it just keeps going up until 9 million. No, I don't know what it is after 115. I don't know that the scale goes there anymore.
These days, Joe, unless you're really a multimillionaire, you're not going to have anything left. I think the majority of people, when they reach 90, have very little left in those things.
Well, 10%, anyway. 10% is what comes out at the age 90. Now, if you're earning 10% a year on your money, talking to Joe Martek.
You're right. You are talking to Joe. You should be talking now.
Anyway.
That's all I want to cover. Now, there are plenty of other things in here. Call me if you want to know more about what's going on, or speak to your own CPA, financial advisor.
What happens is, let me just toot Vince's horn just a little bit. When we started doing these shows, I wanted to have a CPA. I didn't want, now forgive me, just because a person doesn't have CPA behind his name doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing, but a CPA is held to a different standard. The government says in order to have that credential, you have now gone to school, you have passed your test, but you also have continuing education courses, all kinds of stuff. And when you sign your name on that form, you have some personal liability. So it's not quite the same as if Joe Martek did your taxes, and I am not a person that knows how to do taxes, but I could be because if you pay me $50, you never know. But I'm trying to say is, when we started doing these shows, it took me a few years to find what I called a credible professional that was a CPA. And Vince, I'm tooting your horn.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
You know, you're. I mean, besides the fact that you're old, that was a criteria, you know, and that you taught university level, even if it wasn't Columbia.
It wasn't Columbia, but I did teach at the university. Well, you know, Joe, you know, we go through 40 hours of training a year. Yeah. 40 hours.
Every
year. 40 hours that I have to go through. I'm not complaining.
That's just what it is.
Because you know what I find it helps me to stay on that cutting edge. It brings me up to my speed, my knowledge up to where it should be.
Well, you know what,
so I can help clients.
When I look at continuing education, and because we're not young, we have to go through this every year, and we pass these tests. That means we're not fried yet. I mean, literally.
It's true.
I know people out there that are fried that are still doing taxes and stuff, and I got to tell you, it's scary. Because, I mean, they're using stuff that is not part of the rules today, and you and I have both seen them. I mean,
well, you know, you mentioned before about the certifications. So there's a big problem right now in a lot of, let's call them tax preparers, and they'll go nameless.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are tax preparers out there that, because they don't have a license on the line, they use that as license, so to speak,
yeah,
to inflate things and, by the way, stretch the rules to
you
the
can make
degree.
Mistakes and or do things where you're not personally liable.
Exactly.
But what they do is they leave the client on the hook.
Exactly.
No kidding.
I had the classic example was a couple of years ago. I had some clients come in to me, a local tax preparer, had filled out the return. You know, this earned income tax credit, yeah, I was telling you about. They were just automatically taking it on the return. Never mind asking it, do you really have three kids?
Little minor side effects. So when an audit comes, you see, and this, I have had numerous times over the years where I went to see somebody, and very often people don't understand. I'll say, let me see your tax return real quick, because I can do it in my head, but I can't put it in writing. I mean, it just drives me nuts. But I can look at it and say, there's something wrong here. I said, you've got to go see somebody like Vince. And normally I don't say somebody. I said, you've got to go see Vince and let him see if he can refile this, because we might be able to refile it and get you some money back. Now, I think every time I've ever sent you somebody, you've refiled and got them some money back.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Because
yeah,
if people, when I can see that tax return, if I see some things that jump out at me as a mistake, it's hey, you go see them.
Yeah. What about these online tax services?
Yeah, you could go online to the IRS. They have their own service too.
What he's trying to say is no.
Okay. I'm not too familiar with
a standard deduction, they file online.
Listen, there's plenty of those places, including there's some big companies that allow you to do it. And I don't have any problem with that. I mean, I think they're valuable. They're valuable. And if you have a simple return, matter of fact, I'm talking against my own interest, but I'd say if you have a real simple return, you don't need a CPA. You really don't. However, you may not know what you don't know. And if you have rental properties or other things, and you know,
I will give you an example. Client that had a brokerage account and they got a K-1.
Right.
Well, this online system didn't handle the K-1, and she said, well, I didn't make a profit on this thing, so I should have no tax consequence. Well, guess what? Yeah. During the course of the year, the company that's issued that K-1 had made money, lost money, so there were tax consequences, but the online
didn't
system
handle it.
Couldn't handle it.
Because so they're only used to the simple, real simple.
So she got audited.
Yeah.
And she didn't, it didn't make any sense, but the bottom line was it changed her whole way of thinking into now I need to go to somebody that knows what they're doing, a physical person. So this is personal experience.
Yeah.
So all I'm trying to say, folks, is that you've got a group of local professionals here that have been around the block more than once, that know what they're doing most of the time. I can't say 100%, because if you talked, you can't talk to my ex-wife. That's not right. I can't talk about that on a radio. Pastor Tom says, please, Joe, don't talk about that.
Don't talk about that.
I won't
talk about
this
is a Christian radio station.
Well, you know, just because she left me.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Okay.
I guess.
Is that okay, Tom? Poor Tom's rolling his eyes. He's having a heart attack
saying,
right
Joe,
now.
Why are you implicating
I'm waking up now. What were you saying?
You have to remember this. 1982, I was dipped in that tank at Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida, in front of 450 people. And the pastor there promised me the water would be warm. And guess what? It wasn't warm.
He said, it was after you got out.
He said, only for you did we not make it warm today.
You know, you got another subject that might be of interest to people today. Social Security is always something that people are interested in.
Is there
any changes to that?
Oh, absolutely, Pastor. I'm glad you brought it up, because about a month ago when they had this budget bill that went through, stuck in that budget bill, and they never mentioned it to anybody, because I think certain seniors or soon-to-be retirees would be really heavily complaining about it. And that is this. I want to call it a loophole. It really is a loophole, which allowed people to, once they reached normal retirement age, to what they call a file and suspend action. What does that mean? That means if you're eligible, you're 66 years old, let's say, and it's your normal retirement age, you could apply for your Social Security benefits, suspend it,
but don't take it.
Just put it on hold, which then allows it to accumulate 8% a year until you actually take it. But by doing that, would allow your spouse to get a spousal benefit off of your earnings, is presuming that it's half of your earnings what she or he would normally earn themselves. And therefore, they would take from yours as a spousal benefit, which means the spouse's Social Security keeps growing.
Keeps growing, too.
Yours keeps growing. And it was a wonderful loophole. Wonderful. In fact, I was using that strategy with my clients.
So then what happened?
So what happened is with this budget bill, and they buried it in there, and they didn't talk about it. None of the talking heads talked about it, is they eliminated the loophole for anybody who turns 62 or who is not 62 by tomorrow, December 31st. If they're not 62, then that loophole is closed for those people. Anybody who's 62 or over now,
you're still got to be...
Full retirement age before you suspend it.
See, here's what happens, folks. Let's say that you turn 66 and your Social Security is $2,000 a month. That means you made a lot of money. Now, if you don't take it, it goes up to 8% more the next year, 8% more the next year, 8% more the next year. And then you finally turn 70.
70, that's 4 years of 8%. That's 32%
more. So you're going to get $2,600, $2,700, $2,800. But what happened is now you're 66 and your spouse is 61, 62, 63. She can qualify for Social Security on her own, let's say at 62, but she doesn't take her own. She takes a spousal benefit.
Right.
Which would be half of your 2,000, let's say, which would be 1,000. And then she can suspend hers until she's 66, 70, whatever.
Well, here's the thing, though, Joe. If she took it early at 62, she wouldn't get half of yours.
Oh, no. No. Spousal benefit?
She would get half, but then it would be discounted for the early retirement. So it'd be based on your 66, benefit.
But her benefit
would... But her benefit would be half of that.
But it would still be suspended, her real benefit. Yes. She could take
her
it later.
Would be
she may not get half of mine, but she'd get maybe $800
instead. She might get 40% of yours.
Okay, okay. 30, whatever it is.
But if she's 63 and her husband's 65 and she wanted to file, she could only file for her own. She wouldn't be able to...
He has to be 66.
He has to be of normal retirement age,
Now, normal, see what happens, folks, used to be 65, but now normal retirement age is 66. And
depends on your age.
Yeah.
If you're born 1930, prior to 1935, you're 65.
Born in 1935, you're already over.
No, I'm saying you could have retired.
You're not older, you're old.
You retired at 65 at full benefit.
Yeah.
But whereas now, if you're over that period,
66.
All right, so how much time we got left now?
You've got about 1 minute.
Well, I'm so happy.
No. Why don't you talk about investments?
You got about 6 minutes.
See what I like about time.
I had to wake up and look at the clock.
He's negotiating.
Can you look?
Six minutes.
You have your glasses on or off? You got
barely.
I can barely.
That's so, like the doctor told the patient he's got 6 months to live, and then he gave him a bill. He says, "I can't pay it, doc." He says, "Okay, I'll give you another 6 months."
Right. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Yeah. Bada boom, bada boom.
The cymbal shot. So talked about investments.
I got 5 minutes now. Okay, fine. So, Pastor Tom, will you be quiet for a while so I can talk?
I'll be quiet.
So, anyway, a year ago, you know, being the genius that I'm not, I predicted that 2015 would be a flat year, meaning nobody would make, the Dow would not make any money, the S&P 500 would not make any money, and literally, I'm on the money. I mean, unless something dramatic happens tomorrow, it's going to be a year where the Dow and the S&P 500 either made less than 1% or nothing. The only place that in the market, when I look at the market in the last 12 months, that has done what I consider well was the NASDAQ 100. 100 means the top 100 companies out of a roughly 3,000 companies. Now, those include companies like Facebook and Microsoft and Apple. So some Netflix companies that have really, really done well in the last year. And that particular index has made somewhere between 8 and 10%, depending on what happens tomorrow. But that's the only place out of all of the things that I could find. Now, is that going to happen again next year? Beats me. But if you have a time horizon that might go out 10 or 15 years or 5 or 15, you might look at something like that as a long-term investment. Secondly, if you're more cautious, which a whole bunch of people are, I normally are talking to people that are extremely worried about the political and or governmental and or economy and or markets. And I say, hey, look, when in doubt, we have what's called exchange traded debt. A debt instrument means I loan Vinny $10,000. He signs a note. And in that note, it says, I'm going to pay you back so much a month plus interest. And then after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, the note says, it's paid off. It's like a car note, house note, furniture note, whatever it might be.
You're making a loan.
So what happens is some monster companies during the height of the recession did exactly that. They issued debt instruments. Now, they call them different names, but they can be called preferreds or notes or debentures. But some companies that are household names, some of the biggest utilities, biggest companies that you've ever heard of, are paying 5 and 6%. And they pay every 3 months. Now, here's where if Dan Boy was sitting here, he'd be setting me up for this. Vinny, it's your job supposed to be doing that.
Oh.
Sometimes you can only own these things for 2 weeks, and you can collect 3 months' worth of interest.
But yeah, that's true. But doesn't the market price of that bond reflect the fact that you've only got 2 weeks?
Very often, because they're debt instruments, they change minimally. I mean, tiny, tiny bits. It's not like a pure stock when you're into a pure stock that can change dramatically
right.
when these dividends are paid. They can go up 8 or 10% each quarter.
Yeah.
Normally, the debt instruments don't. But it's also something we look at the chart and we look at the price and we say, is it the right time to get in or is it not the right time to get in? So we really literally look at it and to make that decision. So
what's happening in the corporate bond market, Joe, these days?
Well, the corporate bond markets are still relatively low. You see, you can get, quote, junk bonds, which are high risk companies, and you can get a higher rate of interest. But you can also get bonds in, let's say, big companies, and the rates of interest are 2, 3, and 4%. They're just not paying a good chunk of change. And the bond market is extremely subject to the market changes, whereas the debt instruments are 100% liquid. You can buy it today, sell it tomorrow. And the prices, when you look over a course of a whole year, minimal changes. So it's just education. So anybody that's looking at what I consider for short-term money ought to get some information on this, because if you don't want to be in the market, but you're not happy with the bank paying a quarter or a half or one, if you can get one, this is something good to look at. 888, remember, class, you're supposed to have written this number down. 888-221-8990. And the 888, the prefix, means it's toll-free. Any place.
Anywhere you can hear this radio.
Tom, is this true in California too?
Anywhere.
So you can be online, which, by the way, anybody that wants to listen to this station, you can't see us, but you can listen on WCNO.com.
And if you want to go back and hear this program again later, go to WCNO.com on demand.
Hear that?
Really? And
you can listen to
this
program. This is nice.
That's really nice.
So what happens is, if
you can listen to last week's program.
If you've got relatives in Alaska.
How far back do you go?
How far back can you go?
To when you first started on the station.
Holy cow.
17,000 years ago.
Joe, you're old.
I know. But here's what I'm trying to say. If you've got relatives or friends that might get a kick out of listening to us or watching or listening to us, you call the radio. Oh, we got it. Hey, Pastor Tom is ripping through these 15 seconds. He says, quit. Until next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
This is WCN.